We are continuing our study in Proverbs this morning, and just give me a minute. And last week we made it all the way up to, all the way up to verse 22. And I tell you, I don't know if I can do a 31 week of Proverbs, you know, and have everybody tolerate me. But I'd just like to thank the Lord for what He's given us so far. And I hope that we've really begun to understand how important wisdom is in our lives, how wisdom imparts knowledge, it imparts understanding. But first and foremost, the most important thing to acquire wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that awesomeness that you, in your acknowledgement, that God is sovereign, that He is mighty, and that He is worthy to be praised. Once we get to that as our foundation, as our basis, then comes the knowledge, then comes the understanding, then comes the wisdom. And remember that wisdom is there for us to be able to navigate through life, to navigate through life skillfully. We use the knowledge that we have, we use the wisdom that we have, and we use it in all of our situations. And it should produce prudence, it should produce righteousness and fairness as well. So today we'll be, starting at verse 23. And I just want to read from verse 23 to the end of the chapter, and hopefully we'll get this all done today, folks. Let's see. Then we'll start on chapter 2 next week. So I'll read, and then we'll open up in prayer. Verse 23, chapter 1, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time this morning as we gather together to study your word. Father, I pray that you be with my mind and my heart, that I be led by your spirit, by the things that I have gathered in my studies, and to project them and give them in a way that is pleasing to you and that is and that brings understanding and knowledge to those who hear. Be with us as we study today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So verse 23 Turn to my reproof. In other words, repent. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. You know, as I thought about this, she is talking, Lady Wisdom is crying out in the street, and she is saying, repent, return. Listen to my reproof. And this really is quite dramatic when she says, listen to my reproof. Because what reproof is, in actuality, is a sharp criticism. She is criticizing them on their wrongdoing, for what they're doing wrong. And she is saying to turn away from that. The criticism that I have expressed to you, turn away from that. And as a result of you turning away, she will pour out, it says, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Now, we learned from a couple weeks ago that wisdom is crying out in the streets. She comes to us in our daily lives, in the hustle and bustle, in the clamp, in the noisiness and busyness of life. And then I thought, well, you know, she is really criticizing them in this crying out. And I just kind of wonder, what do you think as far as being in the context with Solomon teaching his son and personifying wisdom and being in that era, or even today? Reproof, criticism for a fault. When wisdom was crying out in the streets, what are some of the things that you think that she may have been criticizing? Those that were in the market, those that were at the gate. What are some of the things that you think she may have been criticizing for? Anything, anybody? Very good. She could have been criticizing for false idols. And that actually was the very first thing that I thought of, because that's really pretty prevalent in Israel's history. They don't think anything about getting gold, putting it together, throwing it in a fire, and saying, poof, there's a calf. So false idols, probably number one. Anything else? Seeking for pleasure, seeking for self-pleasure. Moving to the dictates of the flesh and not considering the law, not considering the word. Anything else?
False teachers.
False teachers. He had many of those. False teachers and false prophets as well. False teaching, false prophets. Very good, Jay. So those are likely some of the things that wisdom, crying out in the street, was giving reproof on. The idea is that she was criticizing. And this is sharp criticism. It's not just, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. That's not nice, or that's not godly. No, it's more of a finger in your face. You are worshiping false idols. You are relying on your own strength, your own wisdom to get things done. And that's the idea, that's the picture here. And behold, I will pour out my flesh, pour out my spirit on you. Joel 2:28. Sound familiar? I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Turn to my reproof. Repent of what you're doing. And this will be a result. So once again, we're looking at wisdom's call. And within this call, the ramifications of not heeding the call. okay? And we will get to that. And it's really not very nice at all. So pouring out my spirit, I will make my words known to you. And making those words known, giving that wisdom, actually enables us as accepting the knowledge and accepting the wisdom that the Lord gives, it enables us to be able to produce fruit that is in keeping with repentance. And that's what it's saying here. If you listen to my criticism of your fault, I'll give you my spirit. And in that spirit, you will understand how to produce a bountiful fruit, good spiritual fruit. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. So now she's really starting to get into the idea of, I called, I stretched out my hand, I've been in the streets, I have been giving you the truth, I have been telling you the truth, and you haven't listened. Her telling them the truth and expressing the truth to them is stretching out, is like God stretching out his hand. Here, let me pull you up. Let me pull you up out of the mire. It's an idea of a helping hand being extended in this crying out. Because I called out to you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. You neglected or disdained the counsel, the advice, the prudence that wisdom is. This is what she is saying. If we look at Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 14, here it says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. And the key objective to wisdom is to produce appropriate and wise action. That's the objective. So wisdom was disdained. It was ignored. It was rejected. Isaiah, in chapter 30, this is where Judah was warned against making an alliance with Egypt. And listen to what it says. It says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan or who take counsel. Woe to the children who take counsel, but not mine. The children of Israel, they took counsel, but they did not take the Lord's counsel. Who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also reproach. This is what happens when we listen to our own counsel or to the counsel of others and not regard the counsel of wisdom, the counsel through understanding, the counsel through knowledge of the scripture. So Hezekiah took counsel to turn to Egypt for help against the Assyrians. But he did not take God's counsel. He didn't consult the prophet. He didn't say, well, pray to the Lord for me. What should I do in this situation? He took the counsel or the advice of his advisors. And they're advisors. But it doesn't mean what they give you is going to be right. But he took their advice and he turned to Egypt instead of God. Jeremiah chapter 7 shows those that are walking after the counsel of their own heart. Not just taking advice from others, but the counsel of their own heart. And I'll start at verse 23. He says, but this is what I commanded you, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels. They walked in their own advice, not taking the advice of wisdom, neglecting the counsel of wisdom. Remember, wisdom is counsel. Wisdom is prudent counsel. Wisdom has godly counsel. So, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. So in verse 26, I also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. So this is wisdom's reaction to their rejection or to our rejection. Are we going to reject wisdom to where she is going to mock us in the time of judgment? I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. And how does she do that? If we go down to verse 28, this is the ultimate mocking of those that have rejected the counsel of wisdom. When they call on wisdom, and wisdom will not answer, they will seek wisdom diligently, but they will not find wisdom because it will be too late. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Reject wisdom's counsel, and eventually it will be too late to call out to wisdom. It will come to the point where the hand will no longer be extended. The hand of help will no longer be reaching out to pull us up, as it were. When your dread, verse 27, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. These are the consequences. A storm, the idea of something that comes along very quickly. It's a storm and a calamity that comes along like a whirlwind. And it comes like, the idea is it comes like this. Very unexpected. You know, in our environment, we can kind of look off to the west or southeast, and we can see a storm coming. And we can discern, hey, it's going to be a storm here in another hour or so, or another 30 minutes. But this picture is giving the idea that this storm and this calamity, unbearable calamity, will come along instantly, instantaneously, without warning. And it will be a calamitous storm as well. And the idea of that dread means it is that the event is sudden and it's something that you don't expect. And I'd like to ask another question. What does this remind you of, thinking about Scripture and dread and calamity coming like this? Excuse me. Yeah.
So they don't, you know, I'll get it right one day, I'll get right with God one day. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
They just
think they have plenty of time and really nobody. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a very good one. Because I think that being young, sometimes you think that, boy, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to always be 17. I used to think that. I did. The things that I could do at 17, I'd say, I am on top of the world. Look at this big old S. Well, it was a big C. But, yeah, kids never even think that things can happen to them. I always say that we think sometimes that bad things or things that come unexpectedly happens to other people. But then I say, you know, we're the other people to other people. Just think about it. And it can happen like that. So anything else?
Reminds me of the last days.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Coming as a thief in the night. Come where we're not expecting.
Charles, how about a wise and foolish builder? And also the seed that's thrown out and the cares of the world. I think about that.
Yeah. And that's a good one as well, because this is kind of what falls in line with the types of fools that Proverbs is speaking of. The ones that are gullible, the ones that haven't yet really kind of, they're on the fence, they haven't really made up their mind. They could go either way. Their minds are very impressionable. And it's just like the seed that was sown. Some took. Some accepted the word, some took, but only for a little while. And then it was taken away. Anything else?
I think it might all flow from the example of the original flood that was people brought in safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good one. Yeah. It's like people were getting married. People were being given in marriage. There were festivals. There were parties on Saturday after long, long week's work. And what happened? The flood came away and took them suddenly and instantly and effectively as well. And that really is pretty much a really good picture of what is going on here as wisdom is in the street. Remember, she's among us, and she is calling out to us in the busyness of our lives. And we don't really expect anything to happen before next Saturday's football game. But you really don't know. There may come a time, by one reason or another, very quickly, calamity will come. Judgment will come. Or even just a very basic thing, you know, your life could end. But either way, it will be unexpected, and it will be very quick, instantaneous. So how about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trump will sound, and the dead will rise imperishable, and we will all be changed. For those that are still alive, what's going to happen? It's instantaneous. Who's going to know? No man knows the day or the hour, right? We just don't know. It's just as the flood came and took us all and took them all away. Matthew chapter 24 and starting at verse 36. But at that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Perfect example. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Just the business of life. Just living day to day, not thinking of anything. I mean, what's wrong with eating and drinking? What's wrong with getting married, giving away in marriage? Absolutely nothing. But where is your heart? Where is your position as far as in regards to wisdom, in regards to acknowledging wisdom's counsel? So they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Very instantaneous. Judgment will be quick and swift. So when that happens, then we get to the point where this is the point, the true point of no return. Wisdom has been in the streets. She has been calling out. She has been reaching out her hand. She has offered help to those that are in need. She has been warning the gullible, the ones that are simple-minded, the ones that are vacillating between two opinions, as it were, that haven't made up their mind to follow wisdom or follow folly. And I think studying folly is going to be a good one, I tell you, because we'll have some really good comparisons with folly and wisdom. So no one has listened. They rejected her counsel. They didn't want her sharp criticism. And people don't really take criticism very well anyway, do they? You know, what happens when you... I mean, we have to be gracious. But what happens when you criticize people? They get very defensive, don't they? It's like standoffish. Whatever you say now, I got nothing for you, you know. So wisdom was out there doing that. And eventually she's laughing at them. And then eventually also, when they call on wisdom, wisdom will not answer. Times is going to run out. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Silence is that mocking. Silence is the result of the hearers not acknowledging wisdom's counsel. Once again, verses 26 and 27, I'll also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. And she repeats it. It's like a parallel. It's saying the same thing. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, guess what? It's going to be too late. There's a time limit for us to seek the Lord in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We must seek the Lord while he yet can be found. That is the warning. That is what wisdom, along with many other things, is saying. And I think that Proverbs is really such a rich, rich book, and I've really been blessed in my studies from it. It is amazing how harmonious it is with the rest of Scripture. You know, it's just given us some of the Old Testament truths, and it also kind of does things where you can pick parts of the New Testament and make a comparison to it. So they will call on me, but I will not answer. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, he says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. I love those who love me. This is the Lord, that wisdom speaking. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Until when? Until the storm, right? Until that calamity. Until that suddenness where all of a sudden wisdom is no longer able to be sought. In verse 29, it says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And this is the reason for the rejection. This is the reason for the mocking at their calamity. This is the reason for the silence. This is the reason why wisdom won't answer at that time of trouble, that time of judgment. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is acknowledging that God is sovereign, that he is worthy to be praised because of his greatness. And because the simple-minded here in Proverbs and the simple-minded here in Atlanta as well, or Georgia, or Ohio, or Cincinnati, or anywhere. If the fear of the Lord is not the foundation of your life, sudden turmoil, sudden calamity, a whirlwind, an unbearable storm will come upon you. So she's silent. She mocks them because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. And she's repeating what she said earlier. And we saw how Hezekiah accepted the counsel of his advisors. And that's what counseling is. Counseling could be prudence, it could be advice, or it could be a plan, depending on the context. And here wisdom is saying, I am prudence. I can give you a plan, but what's happening? People are rejecting it. They would not accept my counsel. They spurn all my reproof. And as a result, what happens then? So shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices, or be satiated with the penalty of their own devices, of their own way. Kind of reminds me earlier when we looked at the guys that, the evil ones that wanted to shed blood, that wanted to steal, that wanted to spread out a net and bait people into that net. And actually, in reality, they are actually judging themselves in doing that. They were laying out their own judgment in trying to trap others. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices, the penalty of their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive or the simple-minded or the gullible, his waywardness will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Turning away from the call, turning away from wisdom, turning away from her reproof, turning away from her warning. They did not turn to wisdom because of her warning. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. So in Proverbs chapter 3, it shows the positive results of those who listen to wisdom. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Verse 21, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Wisdom and understanding. Don't let them vanish from your sight or from your life. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life for your soul and an adornment to your neck. Remember in verse 9? He says wisdom will be an adornment, something that you could look on a young child, and something that their behavior, their wisdom, their ways, their manners is a thing of beauty. And it's because of wisdom, and it's because of them practicing their understanding. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. That is in verse. That's Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 13. 13, and then 22 and 23. So, verse 21 again, my son, let them not vanish from your sight, wisdom and understanding, as he was talking about in verse 13. So they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Verse 23, then you will walk in your way securely. You will walk safely, and your foot will not stumble. That is the key. That is what wisdom is trying to produce. Appropriate and wise behavior, appropriate and wise action. And if we listen to wisdom, as verse 33 says, he who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. Being secure from that dread of evil means a couple of different things. It means from evil itself and from the results of being evil, the results of that evil being practiced. So we see that the simple-minded has determined not to listen to wisdom at all. And as a result, calamity comes, judgment comes. And what happens? It's too late. Wisdom turns a deaf ear. Wisdom does not acknowledge the call or the cry anymore. So they are actually satiated, or they are eating the fruit from their own devices. So we've gone through chapter one, ended a little early. Are there any questions or any comments? Anyone has? Just leaving alone.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he call
divine abandonment?
In what reference, scripture reference are you?
Proverbs 1:28 says God's rejection of sinners is carefully detailed. This is an aspect of God's wrath expressed on his abandonment of sinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's the result. Once again, it will be dread coming upon the unbeliever, coming upon the sinner like a storm. It'll be sudden. It will be permanent, and it will be severe. So, is anybody else? Well, I can't believe that we got through Chapter 1 in 4 weeks. And if anybody has any questions, or if you have any comments or statements or encouragement or correction, please let me know. I had a wonderful brother that gave me some material and gave me some advice to kind of help me get through this, which I think was really, really wonderful, and I appreciate that. I'm not up here for my own devices, okay, but I'm up here as a representation of the Word, and I try to give that as accurately and as completely as possible. So we're done with chapter 1, which really is pretty much the basis. Sets the basis, especially 1:7. It sets the foundation, the basis for the rest of the book. And we'll be moving into chapter 2 next week. There may be some, there may be some chapters that we eventually skip, but definitely we'll be doing chapter 2 and chapter 8 as well. So, and 3, yeah. And up to 31. So I'll be done like next March. Okay. Let's end with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you have imparted to us your wisdom through our knowledge and through our understanding. And Father, we did not come to that on our own. We fear you, Lord. We look at you in awe. We look at you as being worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshiped. And it is only because you have been so gracious and so kind as to grant us that repentance. Lord, you've helped us to, through humble mind and humble heart, look at our ways and repent and turn away from that so we won't have to suffer that. That dread that comes from not listening to your counsel. Help us to always, always be willing and open and susceptible to the counsel of your truth through the knowledge, through the understanding that we have, and also that we learn. And I pray that that you be with us today, be with Pastor Ty as he brings the word. Help us to be hearers, not simply hearers, but doers of the word as well. And these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.